The Crimson Scepter by J. F. Wren. Narrated by Jez Jameson. Published by Whip Media. 2021. Prologue. In the beginning, the world that the dual entities had formed was barren and featureless. Gradually, as long as their fleeting interest held, they added vegetation, carved rivers, and folded high mountains and deep valleys. Pleased with their work, they created living things, so that soon the pair were joined by fish in the waters, animals on the land, and, eventually, humans. These last they found baffling, and decided that beings would be needed to watch over and guide these simple creatures, so they fashioned gods for them to worship. The gods were 8 in number, 4 female and 4 male, and when all was done, the entities left this world and turned their attention to the next. The 8 divinities lived in symbiosis with the humans, each having chosen a people over whom to reign. Era, the first of the mind's creation, lived with her devotees in the west, in the land she had named Thulisia. Life in Ammonia, as the world was called, was pleasant, and the various peoples lived in peace and harmony. The centuries passed, and Ammonia flourished. Until one day, high up in the mountains of northern Nazaria, where the god Moros lived with his people, something happened. One night, when the gentle god lay abed, a voice came to him, dripping into his mind the injustice of how he, the most beautiful and divine of them all, was not receiving the worship he deserved. The voice told him that he had to ensure that his people sacrificed themselves in his honour. Thus was the beginning of the reign of terror that descended on the land in the east. The people were cowed, and the priests whom Moros selected performed daily human sacrifices. When the other gods perceived their brothers' doings, they were filled with wrath. They were a blasphemy to all living things and had to cease, and the 7 turned against the 1. This was the start of a long war between the divinities, a war that did not stop until the 2 minds who had created them grew aware of the conflict raging between their creations and banished them all to an uninhabited island, the island that became known amongst humans as the Isle of the Divinities. With their gods gone and the people confounded, it was up to the priests of the different countries to keep the memory of their gods alive. But in Nazaria, sacrifices were still made to the now exiled Moros, and the priestly caste grew in number, evolving into a theocracy whose tyranny was not broken until the day a nobleman gained control of the army, and began the dynasty of evil rulers from whom descended the current overlord of Nazaria, Nazhalham. Chapter 1. Vigar. Sweden, November 1887. In the northernmost tracts of Sweden by the shores of the Muonio River stood a cluster of tumble-down houses, home to a small community who lived off whatever the forest and the river could provide. The houses were in such poor shape that they had to seal the worst of the gaps in the walls and roofs with moss and birch bark. The smokestacks that could be seen were also in an advanced state of disrepair, with bricks sitting loose amongst crumbling mortar, and the roofs, through which they projected, comprised little more than roughly hewn logs covered in peat. The people stopped harvesting the forest in the spring, when there was too little snow to transport the lumber on horse-drawn sleds. The men in the village supplemented their income boiling tar during the spring and autumn, between the felling and the clearing. The tar pits were reinforced with stays, logs, and timber, creating large funnels, some 10 paces in diameter. It was a laborious task to dig up the tree stumps for tarring, but when the work was done, the tar was transported on rafts all the way down to Haparanda for export. Most of the older people in the area remembered the 3 years of severe famine that began in 1867. People had taken to surviving on bread made from bark and porridge made from lichens.